The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Want to get right to Elizabeth Pipko, who joins me again. You can follow her on X, Elizabeth, P-I-P-K-O, Elizabeth Pipko, who is obviously the GOP spokeswoman, a model, author, activist, and on her profile says she's a proud American and a proud Jew as well. So I'll go to, first of all, good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, I noticed your pinned tweet on your, you know, on your Twitter feed, and it's by the Jerusalem Post back on 9/11, the questions we need to ask the U.S. about the Israel-Hamas war. And thinking about what's going on in the Middle East, thinking about what's, and I want to get to Pennsylvania and your take as well. We've been talking about that all morning, about what we're now learning about what happened in Butler, PA, and what happened last weekend and the calls for investigation into that after our governor and Senate candidate, you know, posing with weapons, ammunition, and with the president of Ukraine. But I'll begin with you in Israel, just your take as you think about what's happening and the media coverage. But this administration and this administration's handling of what's going on in the Middle East, and even Joe Biden, when he addressed the UN, saying, talking more seemingly about the Palestinians and their rights. Your take.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned that tweet. It was a Jerusalem Post op-ed that I wrote actually the day after the debate. Because I remember watching the debate and wondering why they weren't talking enough about the Middle East, right? It's easy to bring up Ukraine and the Middle East and think of these as conflicts we're not very involved in, when A, the fact is America is involved, right? Economically, financially, diplomatically. And B, in Gaza right now, there are Americans held hostage, right? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can try to separate themselves from this topic and this conflict as much as they want. But the fact is, the America that I grew up in would not stay silent when our own people were held by terrorists, no matter where, no matter when, and no matter for how long. The fact is, we're close to a year now from October 7, 2023, when this all happened. There are Americans that are still there. We've now watched as an American, Hirsch Goldberg Pollan, was held for 11 months and then brutally executed. I am baffled at the fact that this is not a greater question. It is a giant failure, obviously, of this administration, which is why people don't want to bring it up. But this is symbolic of everything we've seen over the last 4 years. I try to remind people, yes, I support Israel as a proud Jew and as a proud American, but this is a much bigger problem than just about Israel. This is the United States of America showing that our foreign policy, as well as our domestic policy, by the way, is now about appeasement of our enemies. It's about weakness, and it's not about putting America and Americans first. And we're noticing that economically, financially, we're noticing it at the border, but I mean, it's the most blatant example you can possibly have. Americans held hostage by a terrorist group for nearly a year. No one doing anything. Kamala Harris barely being available to speak for interviews at all. Joe Biden going from the beach to, you know, friendly networks like The View, where he's on, I think, right now. And no answers for the families, no answers for our allies, no answers for these innocent Americans being held. And it's just the opposite of the America that I grew up in and that I thought that I knew.
Elizabeth Pipko, I wonder if you would comment on your reaction to the fact that Kamala Harris, our vice president and the candidate now running against Trump, plans to, quote, flesh out her economic vision today in Pennsylvania, in Battleground, PA. This is in the Pittsburgh area. I'm in Philadelphia. But they're calling it, the Harris campaign is calling this a major speech about the economy. So just your reaction to this, as we're going to, I guess, learn more about her vision, her economic vision. This is the vice president of the United States of America, who I believe has been the vice president for, you know, nearly 4 years, now running for president. Your reaction to the fact that she'll release more on her economic vision.
I mean, look, if it wasn't as sad, if the country wasn't in as poor of a place as we are right now, I would laugh, right? Because we're 41 days from Election Day, and our current vice president might finally tell us about some of her policy proposals on one of the most important issues that Americans are dealing with right now. I'm glad she's in Pennsylvania, right? Because Pennsylvania families, they are suffering. I believe they're paying nearly $1,000 more per month because of these rising prices. We're talking about groceries, gas, housing, right? All things that have risen in price by, I believe, over 20%. at this point since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris took office. So she does owe people those answers. Unfortunately, I think she has owed people those answers long before she became the presumptive nominee for the party. I believe she owes us those answers as the vice president, like you said, of the United States of America. We're not getting the answers from Joe Biden. We're not getting them from Kamala Harris. Everything that they both do seems to be putting her campaign first and not putting their role as the leaders of this country first, the American people first. That's who's been forgotten, right, in this entire circus that we've seen around Joe Biden being prepared for the debate or not, then him being pushed aside, Kamala Harris being brought in as she was. All of this has been a circus, and everything that it has done for the administration, for the American people, has been a distraction from our daily lives, which are supposed to be helped by these two individuals, and instead we're getting the opposite. So I'm hopeful for some answers. I'm curious as an American, but I don't have a lot of optimism about anything that she can bring to the table just based on what we've seen these last almost 4 years.
So I know that former President Trump had revealed, you know, some new information about his economic proposals, including, you know, motivating countries to bring jobs here, keep jobs here, as far as, you know, tariffs, imports, corporate taxes, promising now it would be, you know, 15%. And I'll just read you the headlines just for fun and giggles. NPR, Trump vows to steal jobs from other countries in a winding speech on the economy. Let's see, The Guardian, Trump scapegoats migrants again at an event meant to discuss economy. New York Times, Trump and Harris battle over economy and the border. That's a more fair headline. I'll give them that. And there are others. Forbes, Trump's economic plans just don't add up. As I look at 12 major headlines this morning, I would say a couple are fair headlines, but most of them, and you know the rest of the sentence, most of them are quite biased against Trump. What should we know about Trump's, you know, latest discussion on the economy?
Well, number one, I hope people have realized at this point, including those, by the way, that may not agree with President Trump and his policy proposals. I hope people realize Donald Trump could save a scared kitten from a tree and they would still call him the enemy, right? Like, they're always going to twist anything he does. I've seen it with my own eyes happen to me because I associate myself with him and I support him. Obviously, it happens to him every minute of every hour of every day. So that's number one, and I encourage everyone to do the research for themselves, right? Yeah. I think when it comes to the economy, the American people are not stupid, right? They are fully aware that things are worse right now than they were under Donald Trump. They're fully aware that they're paying more right now, that the higher cost of living is due to this new administration. They're fully aware of a lot of the decisions that have been made by this administration, again, whether we're talking domestically or around the world, and how it has impacted us. When Donald Trump talks about bringing jobs back, it's because he wants Americans to do better. I don't know what it means to steal jobs from other nations, but for me, as long as America is put first, that is what matters. That's what Donald Trump is always thinking about. He's always thinking about the American people and making our country stronger, because we can't even protect our allies around the world if we are not the strong nation that we should be. Right. The fact is, household debt is at a record, I think, almost $18 trillion in this country. We're talking about credit card debt. We're talking about baby food being up, rent being up. I said groceries, airfare, transportation, electricity, every possible outlet that matters to the American people when they try to sit at their kitchen table with their children and plan for their futures. That's where people are suffering. And that's what Donald Trump wants to address. And fancy rhetoric is just not going to do the job when people are suffering. And I hope everyone remembers that when they go to the ballots on November 5th.
As far as, you know, former President Trump getting briefed, and I know that he put that out there on Truth Social, that he was briefed about the so-called, you know, Iranian assassination attempts and that sort of thing. Is the Trump campaign doing anything differently and considering private security amid the admission, essentially, of all of these failures of Secret Service and law enforcement, however you want to look at that? These are major failures. And is the Trump campaign considering, you know, beefing up private security around not just the former president, but all of you? I mean, you mentioned, I have no doubt that now that you work for Trump, I know, heck, I'm on conservative talk radio and I take it and I get it. I can't imagine at your level and then your boss and the GOP in general. So is there a push now for some private security?
So look, it's difficult, right? It's an extremely difficult time. I never thought, again, my parents are immigrants of this country, right? I never thought as someone who just grew up proud to be an American that I would work in politics and get threatened and attacked the way that I have because my views don't align with the mainstream. So it's hard emotionally just realizing that's where we are as a country. At the same time, when we're talking logistically, yes, we are talking about some changes. It's nothing big, but it's small things that we're trying to do to just make sure that everyone is a little bit safer. Everyone certainly feels a little bit safer. You'll notice President Trump at his rallies is going to be protected more so by some glass in front of him, on the sides of him, especially, of course, when he's doing those outdoor rallies. We're all kind of wondering where when we travel, if we should do it in groups, not in groups, with more security, less security, where we should go, when we should go. It's very scary. And I think people haven't paid attention to it as much as they should because it's kind of been one-sided and people love to hate on Donald Trump. And I know that it gets clicks and I get it, but it's reached a very, very dangerous point. We almost lost, you know, a former president of the United States. We did, in fact, lose, I think you mentioned him, Cory Compratour. We lost an American who just got up that morning and wanted to support a politician and didn't come home that night. That should never happen in this country. And the fact that people couldn't come together after that and realize how dangerous a society we have created ourselves, it shows that we have a huge problem. And I'm certainly trying to look out more for myself, my family, my loved ones. But as a campaign, we have 41 days to win this election. And unfortunately, safety can't even be our number one concern because there's so many more issues we're dealing with. But it's certainly something that all of us are talking about and thinking about and unfortunately worried about when it comes to especially the former president.
Elizabeth Pipko, final question here. Is there a consideration for another debate with the Veep, with Vice President Harris, especially in light of all of these revelations this week?
Yeah, so in our campaign, I've worked with Donald Trump on and off since 2016. I want people to understand he makes these decisions, right? Yes. We're up against a political machine. I know people realize that when Kamala Harris makes decisions, it's because she has pollsters and advisors all around her kind of telling her what's best for her campaign. Donald Trump makes these decisions by himself. Yes, he takes the advice of all of us, but he decides how best to speak to the American people. He's the one that was laughed at when he first announced 8 years ago, right? And then related to the American people in a way I've never seen any politician do before. He knows when and how he wants to speak to the American people. It's up to him completely. I'm sure every day when we get new information about different things that have happened in states around the country and to him, his mind kind of wanders and he goes back and thinks, how should I talk to the American people now? You know, so there's always a chance. I know right now he's not interested in that. I think it is very late in the game, early voting, being considered, for example, in Pennsylvania, vote by mail starting in days in a lot of states around the country, already starting in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. So I think for him, it's about deciding what's best. And I think he does believe that speaking to the American people as he does, which is a lot more than Kamala Harris, by the way, is what works because he gets to avoid the circus of the media and just talk to the American people that are hurting, which is why he does the town halls and the rallies and the interviews and the speeches that he does nearly every single day. So decision is up to him, but I do truly believe he knows best.
Elizabeth Pipko, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Elizabeth Pipko.
Thank you, Elizabeth, with the GOP spokesperson. By the way, for early voting information, the best site I can think of, swampthevote.com. Actually, I have some bumper stickers if you want them at our next event. I'll have to give them out.
You got bumper stickers?
I got bumper stickers.
Wow.
I have arrived. Swampthevote.com. Because believe it or not, earlier this morning in Kale & Company, I couldn't believe this, but, you know, it just shows you that we need more information because John called and he said, you're talking about early voting. He addressed this to Nick Kale and he said, where do we go to get the early voting? I've never voted early in my life. And here we talk, I feel like we talk about it all the time, but we have to get the information out there. Not everybody has heard it. And so, yes, you can go to pa.gov, but you have to go kind of wind through some things to get to the voting site. So swampthevote.com. Thank you, Linda Kearns, for that reminder, because if you go there, it's easier to navigate, in my opinion, but swampthevote.com. And I think that's probably for the early voting info. You'll find out, you'll put in your county information, and they'll give you all the info that I think kind of streamlines it. Swampthevote.com, place to go.
Hey, so as you're speaking, the president has arrived at the View, and the first question out of the gate, Dawn, was actually regarding him stepping aside. So do you want to play that here, or you want to do that on the flip side?
Oh, what do you think? Your call, you're the executive
producer.
You know,
we're a little over time for a break, so why don't we play that on the flip side?
Sounds good. Laughing, looking relaxed, not wearing a tie, by the way.
No tie.
Suit jacket, but
I don't know if you wear the undershirt if you're not going to wear the tie.
Yeah, I don't know if he was wearing an undershirt.
He is. He has a white undershirt under the shirt. I think you got to just keep the skin, you know, show the chest hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's so what have you got, Dan?
I got the moment that he sits down live. Listen to the audience reaction and the fawning that the ladies of the View do to the former president. Well, current president. Wow. I slip up there.
Welcome back to the View.
It's good to be back to the View. It really
is. Nice to have you here.
Good to be here.
I'll get us started.
Yeah.
So, Mr. President, it was only 2 months ago that you decided to step aside from seeking re-election, putting your country first above any personal ambition, and passing the torch to the vice.
Giving him a lot of love.
And you passed the torch to Vice President Kamala Harris. What have these past 2 months felt like, and are you at peace with your decision?
Well, I am at peace with my decision. Look, when I ran for my first term,
oh, gosh.
I said that I saw myself as a transition president.
Transition.
Yeah. Transitioning to
trans.
A new generation of leadership.
First trans.
I know I only look 40, but I'm 180 years old. I've been around forever. But what happened was having so much success in getting things done that people thought we couldn't get done.
Right.
I found myself having used more time than I would have ordinarily to, you know, pass that torch. Yeah. But working with Kamala, she is bright, she is tough, she's honorable. Mm. And the thing I like about her, and one thing we share in common, is that we have an optimistic view of the future here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, there's nothing we can't do. And there really isn't. Anyway, but that's what happened. And
oh, gosh.
There's nothing we can't do.
Let's fawn over the guy some more, huh?
Yes, they're all thrilled. 81-year-old president's in-studio visit. They're saying it's live, and ABC...
What do you mean they're saying it's live?
Well, I don't know. There's not a live... Usually you put live, and so is it live to tape? I'm suspicious that it's... I don't know. That's just me. Mm-hmm. As I look at the image, as I look up at the screen... Do you want to listen in? He's talking to Anna Navarro, who's the alleged... who's in a ledger?
He has
another one.
He has actually directly asked whether he was forced to side.
Forced to side.
This table is very selfless of you to pass the baton and step aside. There was a perception that perhaps your hand was forced, and some pointed fingers to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who you have a long relationship with and accomplished many things with. Did you feel that your hand was forced, and what is your relationship with Speaker Pelosi now?
My relationship is fine. Look, I never fully believed the assertions that somehow there was this overwhelming reluctance of my running again. Mm-hmm. I didn't sense that. Mm-hmm. And although the polling, as we said, Biden's polling was different, the fact of the matter is my polling was about, we're always within range of beating this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
he still thinks he
can. What I did was, I think there were, it makes sense. There were some folks who would like to see me step aside so they have a chance to move on. I get that. That's just human nature. But that wasn't the reason that I stepped down. I stepped down because I started thinking about it. You know,
I don't believe him.
It's hard to think of, I know you're only 30, but it's hard to think of, it's hard for me to even say how old I am. No, I'm serious. I don't know, you can't remember.
No.
Yeah.
I give my word. It's like, holy God, that can't be right. that just can't be right.
I'm so, your age, by the way. The number gives me vertigo.
No.
Yes, it does.
It gives me vertigo. She's joy, not so joyful.
Close to me as
she's holding his hand now.
Right now, they're
kind of hugging him.
Oh, they're going to make out?
Kind of hugging.
Oh, man. Wow, look at that. Pretty chummy there, Dawn.
Yes. I think, as we look at what's going on, there was a serious moment at about 11:24 where he was speaking. But most of it, I would say they're having a lot of fun. They're yakking it up. There's, like you said, they're kind of huggy. and sucking up to him and thrilled that he's there and doing a kind of a look back, a flashback, if
have,
you will.
I have Navarro fawning, if you want.
Oh,
to.
Yes. Let's.
You gave us the first black woman in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You gave us Kamala Harris, the first woman president, vice president. You gave us Becerra, Cardona, Mayorkas,
Linda
Guzman, all the people, you know. So thank you for that. And why? In case people don't know, you're like a straight white guy. So why was representation so important to you?
Known for liking chocolate chip ice cream and Ray-Ban sunglasses.
There he goes with the ice cream.
Yeah. Mr. Relatable.
But your thoughts? I mean, I think he did, you know, he did okay. I mean, there was nothing, no major flubs. And they, of course, were very kind to him and did a flashback and showed him sort of over the years. So your thoughts on whether or not this was good for Joe Biden? I think it was. But I think there was a piece in there where he was saying, the polls weren't that bad. And I think he almost said what I've been thinking. He still thinks, I could have beat Trump. I could have done it. I could have gotten it done. And they took me off. And trust me, I predict this. Kamala Harris, particularly with, unfortunately, what's going on in the world, I do think that this is bad for her as she's running, because no matter what you say, when you are tiptoeing around delicate times with war, and you think about what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Ukraine, and all of this very delicate time, people go towards somebody they're going to trust, toward the strength. And because they just don't know Kamala Harris, the vice president, I just think that they are going to go for Trump. That's, I know it's going to be close, but I've more and more every day with all of this coming out, I don't care what the polls say anymore. I have never been polled. I want to hear from you, 855-839-1210. If you've ever been polled, I have never been polled ever.
No.
And I have the same phone number, by the way. I've had the same number forever. We've lived in the same house. You know what I mean? For going on 25 years.
Somebody poll me.
No, nobody's polled me. So I'm just saying, I don't know who the heck they're polling. I don't believe the polls anymore. I think that's all good for Trump. That's my take. But I really think as we move forward into these serious times and you look at what's happening in the headlines and the fact that Kamala Harris just today, Wednesday, what are we, 40, 41 days from an election, and we're just learning the shiny new details, give me a break. 855-839-1210.
More builders are on YouTube. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Please go like and subscribe. Like, subscribe, please. Bryn Mawr Builders says, I thought The View would ask him what his favorite ice cream flavor was, and he actually said that right before he revealed his favorite ice cream flavor.
So you were right.
Yeah,
psychic.
You're right on the money. And if you want to hear that back,
known for liking chocolate chip ice cream and Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Chocolate chip. There you go.
Not mint chocolate chip, just chocolate chip. Thank you for being here. Dawn Stensland at Dawn Stensland on X. We'll be right back. We'll get to the latest nastiness that's allowed by a Democrat, even though she's an at-large congressperson. It's just unbelievable, the ugliness and the hate from folks who say hate has no home here. But your thoughts on my last question, as far as, you know, have you ever, I've never been polled. And that's why I take these polls as a grain of salt, as a little bit of a snapshot. And I don't think that anybody should be encouraged or discouraged by the polls. That's just my take. 855-839-1210. I know it got a lot of reaction. And this is it Susan in Chester Springs? Hey, Susan.
Yeah, hey, Dawn. I love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, for the first time ever, I was polled, and then my brother was here, and he got a call on his phone, and he was polled. And they tried every which way to get us to say we weren't going to vote for Trump.
That's terrible.
It was pretty disingenuous. Yeah. Well, what is somebody on television caller, the cackleberry dingle bird? Something like that. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate your call. I want to get to, is this Kurt in Reading? Hey, Kurt.
Yes, how you doing there?
Good. Thanks for calling. Have you ever been polled?
Oh, yeah. About 6 weeks ago, and just like I'm talking to you handheldless, I got a call. My wife was driving. I was sitting in the passenger seat, and it was a poll. I don't recall who it was. But they went, they said, would you mind doing the poll? I said, no problem. They started asking all the typical questions. Who would you vote for if it was done today? Blah, 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 blah. When we get done with the thing, she goes, that was my last question. Now I need to do some demographics on you. So I said, go ahead and shoot. She goes, oh, well, obviously you're male. I said, yep, male. And then she goes, what's your race? And I said, Caucasian. And her response was, we already have too many, so we're not going to use your data. Like, my wife looks over at me like, what the hell?
Wow.
Yep. So you said you wouldn't take it out of a grain of salt. Salt is sodium hydroxide. I wouldn't even take a poll out of a grain of the sodium. Let's cut the piece of salt in half. Not even sodium.
A little scientific view. No, I appreciate you saying that because that's encouraging to me. Because if they're saying, if they're slicing out an entire section of voters and saying, oh, we're not even going to count what you're saying, that's good news.
On my children's lives, that's what she said to us. Like, wow.
That's
unbelievable.
Awesome. But that's great news. Good to Thanks. Know. Shh, don't tell them. Because, see, I think this is good. If they all live in their little bubble, and the less they think, the more they think they're going to win, and they've got this, good for them. Let them think that. So just between us. We're just saying this among friends, right? 855-839-1210 is the number to call.
While you're speaking, things have gone downhill on The View as Biden, it seems like it might be live because it's pretty, it's falling apart.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I just...
He values Kim Jong-un.
Well, yeah, by the way.
Isn't he just trying to stay out of jail? Let's face it.
Trying to stay out of jail. And he values himself above everything else.
Well, I'm not sure he even understands what he's doing.
I do have a question for you, Mr. President. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the Violence Against Women Act, which you call your proudest legislative accomplishment in all the years you served as senator, vice president, and president
of the United
States.
You can tell they're slowing down the questions.
Yes. It's so personal to you. Can you tell our viewers why?
My dad was a really honorable and noble man. Never went to college. He was a very well-read guy and had great character. He used to say the greatest sin of all was the abuse of power. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate sin was to abuse a child or a woman. Mm-hmm. And what I did when I was chairman of the judiciary committee, I looked and saw all, when I held these hearings, remember, you may remember.
I remember.
I remember nothing.
No, but all kidding aside, when I held these hearings, it was like, what's he doing? Mm-hmm. And people started coming forward. Yeah. And people telling their stories. Yep. And the extent of the abuse. And I'm so damn proud. My daughter, Ashley, she has her master's. Anyway, she's a social worker in Philadelphia. Yeah. And she's providing housing for abused women and women who have coming out of incarceration to work with them. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many opportunities for people to correct their lives and get things back in shape. But it's just simply, I mean, the idea, anyway. So it was the single most consequential thing, in my view, that I've emotionally ever done. Wow. So when I started it, it got very little support, but it became
really right, right,
it's
pretty
now
well here.
Part of the ethic of America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank
it's
you
a great
that.
Thing. Yeah. We're all better for it.
So proudest accomplishment 30 years ago. There it is. 30 years ago. Great.
Didn't catch that.
Fantastic. Proudest. We can all feel good about that, right? The man who's been the president of the United States of America, running the, commander in chief for nearly 4 years. And by the way, I couldn't help but think about, all of the reports about the tens of thousands of missing children, sex trafficked, human trafficked children missing over the border, even the FBI admitting that and finding some of the kids. And we aired that yesterday with CBP announcing, the drugs and the trafficked children as young as 8 years old and that they are trying to recover the kids. But if you're so much about protecting abused women and children, and just think about the hypocrisy there, then why wouldn't you protect them when we have an out of control human trafficking situation at our border right now, and I'm not in any way am I not remembering the fact that we in this country, which makes me nauseous, we in this country, in America, have this huge demand by these sickos and these predators who want this kind of situation, right? Because the demand is here, so they're sneaking in these women and children to be little boys and little girls, as young, very young ages, many of them, being trafficked into this country. It's sick. And you would think that somebody who 30 years ago wanted to do something about at least the women being abused, but you would think that same person 30 years later would want to upgrade and update their stance and their policy to make sure that those women and children are protected against these abusers and these sickos. And yet here we have these record numbers. Just we released, I told you about it yesterday, more numbers from Border Patrol. So it just makes me sick. And that's just it. Why don't they ask him about that? What have you done? You've allowed all of these predators and traffickers in and out of the country. It's sick. And why not hunt down the predators here who create the demand for this sick trafficking, right? The Americans, presumably here, who are the customers, if you will. It's really icky. But where are they hunting them down? You know what? They're too busy hunting down the J6ers. Why don't we hunt down the predators right now? That makes me nauseous. So good for you. Let's all celebrate what you did 30 years ago, something good. How about 30 years later? What about now? And that's just it. The media today just giving a pass to the current administration, and it's as if he's not the president. It's as if, oh, we're looking back on somebody's career and what he did decades ago. Well, what are you doing for me now? What have you done for me lately? Because they can't. You know what? They have to talk about his past, what is some of his past accomplishments. They're not going to talk about now because you know what? Everything sucks. The economy, what? The world worldwide, it's a hot mess wherever you look. Yes?
They actually just asked him about the potential ceasefire between Israel and Palestine, if you wanted to hear that.
Yes.
Seems to have expanded to Hezbollah in the north. How real is an all-out war in the Middle East, and is a ceasefire still in reach? And would you require all hostages to be released alive in order to have a ceasefire?
The answer is part of the ceasefire would be the exchange of those hostages, number one. Number two, an all-out war is possible, but I think there's also the opportunity, or still in play, to have a settlement that could fundamentally change the whole region. And I look, one of the things that I found is there's the Arab world very much wants to have a settlement because they know what it does for them. They're willing to make arrangements with Israel and alliances with Israel if Israel changes some policies. And I've known Bibi Netanyahu for a long, long time. And I'm a very strong supporter of Israel. I make no bones about it. I said years ago I was a Zionist. All a Zionist means is that there needs to be an Israel. And the fact is, though, that Bibi has a picture I signed for him when he was a young member of the embassy here in the United States. And it was 8x10 picture. He asked me to sign. I went, Bibi, I love you, but don't agree with the damn thing you say or do, Joe.
Yeah.
And I do, and he's right. I don't agree with his position. There needs to be a two-state solution. Ultimately, it needs to happen. There's a way to do it, and they have a possibility. I don't want to exaggerate it, but a possibility if we can deal with a ceasefire in Lebanon, that it can move into dealing with the West Bank. But we also have Gaza to deal with.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, but it's possible, and I'm using every bit of energy I have with my team, and you know from the Defense Department,
little that
you
know
well, to get this done. There's a desire to see change.
So remember that his good old buddy, Bibi, you know, this is the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, and he is to address the United Nations. But the reports, looking at the very latest within the last, you know, 9 minutes, that the IDF attack deep within Lebanon, including north of Beirut. The Lebanese parliament, is the speaker has said that the next 48 hours are decisive in reaching diplomatic an agreement, a diplomatic agreement between Israel and Hezbollah, and then that the Israeli Security Cabinet is supposed to meet today, and the IDF mobilizing two reserve brigades to the northern sector. So that, as think about all of this swirling, as we see the situation, the deadliest day of conflict since 2006, as those Israeli strikes killed about 500 in Lebanon. So you see, this is, we're talking about Lebanon, which we told you yesterday, Netanyahu had said yesterday to Lebanon, he was, had those taped announcements saying our conflict is not with you, it's with Hezbollah. But that is not, that's in the headlines, not Hamas, not the hostages. And so this all, as the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who, remember, not so long ago was welcomed in by former President Trump at his home at Mar-a-Lago. Remember that? When Netanyahu was here and he was blown off by the current Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Remember, she was busy. Oh, I got to go see my sorority sisters and campaign, blah, 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 and blew him off there. It was so disrespectful. Later met with her and obviously with Biden as well later in the week. But this, as the, you know, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is hailing a new peace and hoping for that, but he is preparing to address the United Nations. So this, as tensions, clearly the tensions are mounting in the Middle East as Biden speaks and goes on yakking it up on ABC, a very serious time in the world as we focus in on really what is a global crisis.
Ukraine now, I see Zelensky is here. I think Zelensky is the greatest salesman in history. Every time he comes into the country, he walks away with $60 billion. Billion! Walks in with $60 billion. He wants them to win this election so badly. But I would do differently. I will work out peace before I'm even before. As president-elect, if I win this election, the first thing I'm going to do is call up Zelensky and call up President Putin, and I'm going to say, you got to make a deal. This is crazy.
Let's make a deal. So that's former President Trump speaking out about this. I know he talked about it yesterday while campaigning in Georgia and talking about that deal. And we know that Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky is preparing to reveal his victory plan to President Joe Biden tomorrow. And they're looking for that support, looking for that money. Did Zelensky shoot himself in the foot with that little campaign visit with Democrats, a little too cozy for some Republicans, calling for that investigation? So many, many new details as we look at everything that's going on. And we think about Trump on the campaign trail today. He'll be in North Carolina. And the former Vice President, Kamala Harris, the big reveal, well, she'll be campaigning here in the battleground state of Pennsylvania in the Pittsburgh area, releasing her new economic plan, all shiny and new. You'd never know she's an incumbent. Did you want to go to one more piece of audio with Trump campaigning in Georgia, Dan?
I do not have that available.
Okay, that's okay. Yep. But I know that he was campaigning in Georgia yesterday, calling out and saying that there should be a deal and a call for peace, but it would require a deal and it would require Ukraine to give a little land up. That's what he was insinuating. And maybe that's why Zelensky is putting all of his eggs in one basket.
We will. He's been saying that for 3 years. Every time Zelensky comes to the United States, he walks away with $100 billion. I think he's the greatest salesman on earth.
Yeah.
But we're stuck in that war unless I'm president. I'll get it done. I'll get it negotiated. I'll get out. We got to get out.
And so that from Trump. So how much will that impact Zelensky addressing the UN tomorrow? We're going to find out. And as well, how much will Trump announcing that 15% business tax that I talked about, that drop, as well as tariffs against those who leave the country, how much does that play into what Kamala Harris is expected to reveal today while campaigning in Pennsylvania? So much that we want to look at, all of these different probes and investigations. Then, of course, this evening, Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker will hear more as she'll give her big reveal on releasing the details about the deal for the Sixers' new arena in Philadelphia. Whew, a lot going on. Dom Giordano is in the house. Hey, Dom.
Hey, Dawn. 1:30 today. We're going to talk with the vice president of Teamsters Local 107. They were in the paper yesterday saying in Pennsylvania, Trump did even better than he did nationally. But the vice president of that union says he has to educate his members about Trump. This will be interesting.
That should be. Can't wait for that. The Dom Show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.